Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three, four.
Said, amen. Please be seated.
Welcome and greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So glad you've come to church today. And I can't wait on this Sunday always to say, see you next year. That's my favorite, Susan. I can't help myself. Also, I'm glad that you're here and you see all the decorations are up. How many of you honestly took them off from home, put your tree up, all the lights are gone? A few of you. How many did not? All right, so feel at home here today. Next Sunday after church, we're going to undecorate. So I want you to, and we'll do that prayerfully and thoughtfully, removing these decorations and beginning to prepare ourselves for the year to come. So please, stay after church next week. Let's undecorate together, yes? And celebrate the new year. In your pews before you, if you're new to this church, there are blue cards. If you're comfortable sharing any information, fill that out. The yellow is our prayer card, and we take prayer seriously here, so please feel free to put whatever your prayer request is. You can fold it up and then put it in the offering plate as it goes by you, and we'll be holding you in our prayers and hearts. Sharon, you want to bring it on home?
Good morning, and Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. Peace be with you. My name is Sharon Fitzpatrick, and it is good to be in worship with you this morning. As we begin worship, we light these candles to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Will you please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? The scripture reading this morning is John 3:16 from the New Century Version. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Let us gather in prayer. Everlasting and gracious God, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, we find hope and renewal in your promise of everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Your gift of love and salvation fills us with unwavering joy. We surrender our past to your forgiveness, and we embrace the future with open arms. Guide our steps in the light of your love and empower us to share the message of your grace with all whom we encounter. May this day be a testament to your unwavering love and the transformative power of faith. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
When hope was hard to find, no peace for humankind, you'd not forgotten us. You sent the King of Love, the greatest gift of grace.
I think y'all left me speechless. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. This time we'd like to invite the children forward for their spark moment. Come on down, kiddos. Hi, everyone. Whoa, hi, how's it going? We're going to need an extended stage soon. Can we widen it? Oh my goodness, we have talked about gifts a lot these past couple of weeks. Did you guys get to open any presents this week? Yeah? We got to open presents on Christmas? Was it fun?
Yes.
Was it exciting?
Yes.
Yes. Did you get an awesome present?
Yes.
Yes.
I got a narwhal.
Whoa, you got a narwhal?
Yeah.
Like a whole one? A real narwhal?
Yeah.
Can I come see it? You got a mermaid and a narwhal. Who got a unicorn? Are we going to have the trifecta? Oh, my goodness. We all got some awesome gifts, didn't we? And I bet you all have a favorite gift in those. Did you have a favorite gift? Yes. A drone. A super high tech. So we have talked about the best gift that happens at this time of year. What's the best gift that happens at this time of year? Time with family, presents, friends and family. Jesus was born. Yeah, elves are in the North Pole? They went back to the North Pole, didn't they? They're going to sleep right now. They're done. But Jesus is still with us. Did you know that? Let's sit down, okay? Jesus is with us all of the time. And in his birth and all the time, God gave us this amazing gift called grace. Have you guys heard that word before? Have you heard the word grace before? Grace is an amazing gift because grace is receiving something like a reward, I see, that we don't deserve. Have you guys ever gotten a reward that you don't deserve, that you didn't earn in any way? Possibly. Sometimes it's hard to accept those rewards that we didn't earn. It feels like we aren't good enough for them. But the thing about God's grace is it's given to us freely because he loves us. And it is with us all of the time, no matter what we do. And that grace comes with this big bow on it called eternal life with God. And the really cool thing about eternal life and about the grace that's been given to us is that we don't have to wait to open those gifts. We have eternal life right now with God. We walk with him every day as soon as we accept him into our hearts. We don't have to wait for heaven to be a part of God's family. That's so cool. So when we go into Spark Worship today, we're going to talk about what grace is and how it is more than just heaven, right? We're going to sing about the deep, deep love of Jesus, also known as the pirate song among those who know. And then we're going to come right back in here, and we're going to see three of our friends get baptized. Is that cool? In here. So parents, we will be back in here for the end of worship, and I will send your kiddos back to you, or they can sit in the front to see the baptism. Does that all sound good? All right, let's say a prayer. Can we bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes? Say, dear Jesus, your gift of life.
Your gift of life.
Begins the moment we accept you.
Begins the moment we accept you.
Help us live the life.
Help us live the life.
You have planned for us.
You have planned for us.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go right out the back door, and we're going to wait for Miss Jenny and Miss Jessie before we leave.
Thank you, Jessie, for a life lesson on grace. It doesn't matter how we behave. God loves us anyway, and we are to model that love for others. So if you misbehave today, that's okay. We'll see you guys in a little bit. As we come before the Lord in prayer, we lift our own collective prayers, our own sighs and wants and needs and desires, and God hears us and knows what we need. So together we'll say prayers of the people. For those prayers that you hold in your heart, let's just go before the Lord in our silence of our own prayers for a moment and lift those to God and trust that God got a great plan for you. Let us pray. God of new birth, new life, second chances, and new beginnings, on the cusp of the ending of one year and the beginning of another, we invite you to continue your work of making us new. As we enter into a new year, we pray for that which we need to leave behind in order to embrace something new. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for big decisions that we need to make. Lord, hear our prayers. For areas in our life where we hope for new opportunities. Lord, hear our prayers. For holy habits we hope to prioritize. Lord, hear our prayers. For areas in our faith that we want to grow in. Lord, hear our prayers. As you make all things new, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in us to reshape us and make us live in a way that is pleasing to you in this coming year. Lord, hear our prayers. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We ask you to be present in every single moment of our lives. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. Anybody here have a Merry Christmas? So-so? I didn't hear a resounding yes! It was awesome! Are you ready for a blessed new year? Yes! Well, awesome. Because we made it through the Christmas celebration, I think it's safe now to talk about this subject, the art of re-gifting. Yes, re-gifting is a practice as old as time, and it's still one that continues to spark a lively debate. While some people consider re-gifting a social faux pas, others see it as a clever and sustainable way to manage surplus gifts. Re-gifting simply means giving away a gift you received to someone else. This can be done for a variety of reasons. It may not be you got a gift and it's really not up to your taste. My mother-in-law would never re-gift. She had a closet. I called it the mother-in-law closet. And every gift I gave her, she put in the closet, never to be seen again. I wouldn't have minded if she re-gifted it, but she just kept it to herself. Now, some people will re-gift because when you get a gift, oh, gosh, this would be perfect for someone else that you know and love. So, grace, I believe, is the ultimate Christmas gift that we have received through Jesus Christ. And I wonder, shouldn't we want to share that gift with others? Let's dig a little bit deeper into gifting and re-gifting to discover how we might receive and then give away God's great gift of grace. The second reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version. You have the page up there. It's 1064 and 1065. It's a short verse, so if you want to open up and see what the NRSV says. And again, remembering, I often read different versions to you, so you get a little bit different sense of the interpretation. I always say every reading of the Bible, no matter what the version, is an interpretation. Because we believe that the Holy Spirit resides in these words, and we see and read them different all the time. So let's see and read what we hear from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, as you listen now for a word from God. I mean that you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. It was not the result of your own efforts, so you cannot brag about it. This is the word of God for the people of God. There's some fascinating and interesting insight connected with God's gift of grace and our act of re-gifting. Both involve receiving something precious, freely given, and both call for us to discover ways in which we can share it with others. So let's unwrap this connection. Are you getting all the allusions to gifts? Let's unwrap it, because grace, in every sense of the word, is a free gift. And a gift is more than just an object. It's a gesture of generosity, a gesture of connection. And every gift given is given without expectation of getting anything in return. It's often motivated by love, appreciation, a desire to bring joy to others. A gift is a voluntary transfer of property or money or assets from one person to another person, the person who's receiving. And you cannot receive anything comparable in return if it's a gift. And when we give a gift, no expectation of repayment or compensation. If the giver gets something equal to or of greater value, it's not a gift. And every gift implies successful delivery and acceptance. If you give somebody a gift and they never receive it, it's not much of a gift, is it? So it has to be accepted. And at Christmas, we are often the recipients of many wonderful gifts, and we are so very blessed that we want to share these gifts. We want to share the love, right? And that's where regifting comes in. Yeah, sometimes we're regifting because we want a gift to give that gift a second chance. The first gift received may not be perfect for me, but regifting it gives the gift a second chance. Regifting also, you find a home for this gift that they might appreciate it and enjoy it. Finding the right person to regift to is also so joyful. And connecting the gift with somebody that will truly value it, man, that's fun. And practically speaking, regifting reduces waste and promotes circulation of resources. It's a very green thing to do. Thank you, Sharon's back there giggling. It's a practical thing to do, to regift and contribute to more sustainable holiday season. Who doesn't want to do that? Now, do you feel better about regifting? You don't feel guilty anymore? I didn't see you shake your head. How does this relate to God's grace, you may be asking yourself? Well, thank you for asking. God's grace is absolutely unearned and freely given gift to us. God's grace is unmerited, freely offered. It is not something we can earn or deserve. It is a divine outpouring of love and forgiveness. It is the transformational gift, because God's grace doesn't just change us. It empowers us. It empowers us to give to the world. And this grace is a gift from God, and receiving it becomes our source of strength, hope, and love that we can then share with others. That's what the whole concept of regifting is about. And what better way is there of passing God's light and love to others than regifting it? Right? God's grace is meant to be shared. There is no shame in regifting God's grace, because when we regift it, we are agents of God's wonderful gift of love, and we give that to others. We share that gift with others by extending, even in ourselves, compassion, forgiveness, kindness to others, because we have become a vessel of grace, spreading this transformation power and bringing light into the world. Now that is the spirit of Christmas. That's what we celebrate, in case we forgot. In truth, regifting is a powerful metaphor for how we are called to share God's grace. We are freely given this gift of love and forgiveness, and in turn, we are called through our actions, in our words, in our service. Regifting actually can break the cycle of selfishness. And when we regift and share God's grace with others, we are seeking ways to bless them, and it feels great, because truthfully, we all find fulfillment in giving good gifts. Did anybody give a gift this year that you were so excited to give to somebody because you knew it was perfect for them? And when they opened it, it brought you joy. Do you remember how that felt? It's the same way with God's grace. It's a perfect gift for everyone. It fits all sizes, and it feels wonderful when we give that perfect gift of grace. Just think how much bigger and better it is when we share God's grace with others and we participate in something bigger than ourselves when we contribute to love and compassion. On Christmas Eve, I ask you, not metaphorically, for real, I ask you if any of you could remember a gift that you received, say, in 2015. That was the same answer I got on Christmas Eve. Okay, what about the year 2000? You remember a gift you got in the year 2000? Okay, how about this year? Okay, well, we'll go to next year. Surely you remember the gifts you've gotten this year. Yes? Well, you see, the point is that when we are given gifts, we rarely remember those in a year or two from there. Unless, as I said, it was a new car. And if you got me a new car, I would not forget. I'm just putting it out there for you. But when we give a relationship, who you spent this year Christmas with, I bet you remember, don't you? How about last year? How about 10 years ago? Do you remember who you spent Christmas with? He's pointing to his wife of 35 years. Good answer. See, gifts are not really that important. It's the relationship behind them. These intangible gifts of love, of forgiveness, of compassion. And when we receive and spread God's grace, we become active participants in the spreading of this gift throughout the world. And it creates a ripple, my friends, of hope and transformation that can touch countless lives. The grace is the gift that keeps on regifting. Now, some people might wonder, why would God give us such an amazing gift? And the answer lies in the scripture we heard first that Sharon read from John 3:16. I don't know why it is that almost every Sunday school class teaches us John 3:16. And if you're not new to the faith, no doubt you have it memorized. Will you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, you know this by heart, because this is the reason that God gifted us Jesus Christ. We know it by heart because it changes our heart. And it is the absolute source and the beauty of grace. A loan repaid, a debt settled, something you never have to pay it back. That's the gift that God gave us. You are so loved that no matter what you have done, no matter who you are a child of God. And no one can take that away from you. Christ died that you might be that person and have eternal life. And it is a love that shouts out so we can clearly hear it. You are loved. You are a child of God. And if anyone puts you down, you just say to yourself, I'm a child of God. Can anyone put God down? Just yesterday I saw a post on Facebook. It was on Jan O'Dea's page. And it was a picture that said, give yourself kindness and grace, then re-gift it as often as possible. That's like the grace we're talking today. You have received a gift from God in Jesus Christ. And when you receive that gift, you allow yourself, you receive it, to then be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And the only response should be action, giving it back. See, through this faith, all we're doing is believing. We're believing in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. We're stepping towards the embrace of God's love. And this is not a blind leap or even a journey of trust. It is a surrender to the truth that we are not alone. We belong to God, and God holds you in the palm of God's hands. God's grace is a gift to us made possible through Jesus Christ. And in re-gifting that grace, we too are sharing hope and peace and love and joy. And remember, we didn't earn this gift. It's not a reward for our merits. It's not earned through good deeds or religious rituals. You see, that's what got the early Pharisees and Sadducees in so much trouble, because they felt like they had to do these rituals just right, or they'd never be able to be received into God's kingdom. It is a free, unmerited gift, a divine spark that ignites within us despite our shortcomings, despite our imperfections, Despite our mistakes, it is a free gift. And it's like the sun. When the sun is out and it shines its rays upon us indiscriminately, shining both on the wicked and on the just, warming the righteous and the evil at the same time, and so does grace. It embraces us all regardless of our past, even our present. But this grace, as I said, it's not a passive gift. You don't just receive it and sit back in the light of God and say, "Ooh, I got this gift of grace. Thank you, Lord. I look really pretty, and I'm really grateful for this gift." Nope. Sorry. It's a call to action. Remember we talked about that God doesn't care how old you are? God doesn't care if you're too old or too young. God doesn't care if you're a man or a woman or a child. God will use the gift of grace as you share freely God's gift with others and embrace this transformation that awaits us. And when we accept this gift, because remember, you have to accept it, don't you? It is transformation, and it is a journey of renewal. Our hearts, what's hardened by sin and doubt, are softened by the touch of mercy. Our eyes, once clouded and closed by self-judgment and judgment of others, gain clarity to see the world through the lens of love. And our hands, once cleansed in fear, are opened wide in acts of compassion and service to others. This gift of grace, once received, is not meant to be hoarded. It's not meant to be hidden away in the gift closet. It is meant to be shared. For it is a fire that is ignited in our heart, and that flame of compassion compels us to share the gift, to re-gift grace to others. Many of you may know that Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is considered a lighthouse church. I've heard some people fuss about that. In the Rio, Texas Conference, a lighthouse church is considered a church that specifically is spiritually equipped to welcome others in the name of Jesus Christ. See, we are regifting God's grace through being a community of faith that provides a resting place, a haven for peace and grace. And this is not a passive grace. This is one filled with the Holy Spirit power as we offer ourselves as a welcoming place during times of grief, during times of transition. And in the power of God's grace, we are called to be a safe space, offering caring relationships, listening hearts, unconditional love. And although you would think that this is the work of all God's people and the work of all God's churches, we are especially suited, you and I, because of the power of the Holy Spirit made real in us. We engage others in Christ's love, and we welcome people. And we will continue to engage people in Christ's love and guide them, helping them to learn to grow in faith through small group gatherings and Sunday school classes and Bible studies and prayer opportunities. You see this grace that we talked about? It is an active grace. God's calling you to become active in this church. Are you in a Bible study? Are you in a small group gathering? Are you in Sunday school class? Are you in a prayer group? See, the way that we are sustained in our faith is kind of like that old story you hear about a fire and the little spark had fallen away from the fire, and because it's not near the flame, it just dies out. But through God's grace, when we gather together, we continue to light each other on fire and be part of God's grace. And this means we are not called to be passive recipients of God's grace. We are called to be and give encouragement, instruction, and re-gift this precious, priceless, perfect gift of grace found in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the year 2024, and in the years to come, may we, may you, may I, continue to be the hands and feet and hearts and eyes and hope of Jesus Christ for all who need it. And may God's gift of grace be offered to all. Now that is a re-gift I think we can get behind, yes? Amen? Amen? Amen.
I invite you to prepare your heart to offer your presence to our Lord. Cheryl always asks the lay reader to say why I give. Well, her sermon kind of says it. We're regifting. You know, God has given me so many blessings, and I feel it's only right to pass it on to regift to others, not only in this congregation, but throughout the world. So this is why I give. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering? Will you please stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise? Let us pray. We come before you today overwhelmed by the immensity of your love. Your gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ is a wellspring of hope and blessing that overflows all of our understanding. In light of your abundant grace, we offer ourselves as instruments of your love. We place our talents, our time, and our resources at your disposal, ready to be used for your purposes. May our lives be a testament to your transformative power, a beacon of hope for those lost in darkness, and a testament to the joy that comes from living in your grace. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will you say the mission statement with me? It appears on the wall. Mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. It's just that simple. And it's just that hard. But you have been given unlimited power to do it. And I can't wait to see what God does with and in you in 2024 and beyond. Amen? And now it comes to the time to leave this place of worship and go out into the world that we might share the very light of Christ like James did. As he carried the light of Christ out, we too carry that light of Christ through the grace of Jesus. For everyone that we meet, they need a flame. They need the warmth. They need to know Christ's love. So I encourage you to go forth from this place and re-gift God's grace. Amen? Amen. Amen.